she could do that, right? Well, how are we doing this morning, River Ridge? Good, me too, thanks for asking. Hey, we're so glad that you joined us today. For those of you who joined us online, or for those of you sitting in Barboursville in traffic, we're glad that you've chosen to join us from a distance. But man, I love that I get to be on staff here at the church, and I've got a staff that loves me dearly. And I know this because about 23 minutes ago, I lost my iPad that I was supposed to preach with this morning. And I have friends come alongside me, so I'm using Ryan's iPad. So if you see a large iPad in your seat, this isn't a joke, it's not a part of the script. If you see an iPad, I in fact am missing my iPad. It's back here. Oh, praise God. Does a brother want to run it up here? Oh, man. Shoo. Well, Andy started a two-part preaching on the Holy Spirit. Give it up for my beautiful wife. Thank you, babe. The Lord wanted me to use this one for the first, this one for the second. So Andy started a two-part teaching last week on the Holy Spirit. And today I get the privilege to continue that. But last week we looked at things and we learned who is the Holy Spirit. And what we learned is this: the Holy Spirit is a he, right? The Holy Spirit is active in the life of every believer, and that the Holy Spirit in action, it's hard to describe. And then he challenged us to pray these three things: Holy Spirit, guide me, change me, and empower me. How many of y'all have prayed that every day this week? It's all right to raise your hands in church. Come on. Amen. All right, I've been praying that as well. And so let me go ahead and start our time together by just asking the Spirit to show up. Here we go. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Holy Spirit, would you guide us this morning? Would you guide our thoughts, guide our mind, guide our actions, God? Holy Spirit, would you change us? As we read your word, would it bring about transformation in the life of all of us? Holy Spirit, would you empower me to speak your words, not my words, but your words? And God, on this Memorial Weekend, I'm so grateful for the men and women that laid down their lives so that we could have freedom to worship you together this morning. All God's people said, amen. Well, I get to conclude our series on disciple this morning. In this series, we've learned that a disciple is a learner, a pupil, and a student. We've been chasing after this idea of more, that God wants so much more for our lives as we follow him. Our anchor verse has been Ephesians 3:20, which says, now to him is able to do far more abundantly more than all that we could ask, think, or imagine. And so Andy told us last week, who is the Holy Spirit? Today we're gonna talk about this idea about the Holy Spirit leads us. And as the Holy Spirit leads us, what happens as a result of that is disciples bear fruit. Disciples bear fruit, and that's my message for today. Before we jump into that, I have a question for you all. How many of you would say that you like going to the doctor or you like going to the dentist? You can raise your hands once again, it's okay. Well, for me personally, I love people who are dentists, but I do not like going to the dentist. In fact, whenever I was about 9 years old, I disliked it so much that they actually kicked me out of the office. Story for another day. Might have been 13, who really knows? But as we approach this, well, what I'll hear people say is this, is they'll say something like, I don't want to go to the doctor. Why? Because I don't want to know what's wrong with me, right? And so if we know the truth about our doctor, if we have a good doctor, they want the best for us. They want the best for our health and for our care. But I think this morning as we approach this text, it might feel a little bit like going to the doctor, where we're going to see some areas where like we fall short a little bit. But I want to encourage you before I even get started, I want you to look at this as an opportunity to grow. Look at this as an opportunity to see the good, the things that God wants for you if you follow after him. And so we are going to be in Galatians 5, starting in verse 16, if you have your Bibles. Give you a second to turn there. Everybody say amen when you got it. There's two amens, keep them coming. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So a little bit of context here. Paul is writing to the churches, plural, who are in Galatia, and it's important, it'll matter in a couple minutes, but here's what was happening. You have these Jews who were overly religious, and they thought they could somehow measure or attain by works salvation. And then you have these newly converted Gentiles who felt like they could claim Christ and then live however they wanted to live their lives. Does that sound familiar to us this morning? See, but Paul gives them the answer to both of them. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. And maybe you're here this morning and you have this question, how will I know if I am walking by the Spirit? Well, thankfully, he continues, he gives us that answer in a very familiar passage in 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Meaning that none of these things break any part of the law. Let's look at this word fruit for a minute. Let's look at this word fruit. Is the word fruit singular or plural? My English teachers, you got it right. This is in fact singular. Why does that matter? Because what it says is the fruit of the Spirit is love. What flows out of that fruit is joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. And here's why that matters. Here's what that means. It's not that we get to pick and choose which fruit it is that we want to display. We don't get to say, man, I'm really good at joy, but patience, not so much. Right, here's the deal. The fruit of the Spirit, it is holistic in nature. Meaning this, that it all works together to form a fruit of the Spirit. It's not nine separate fruits, which is different than the spiritual gifts. You see, at the moment of salvation, a believer is given a spiritual gift. But the fruit of the Spirit does not work that way. See, all of these things work together because it'd be impossible to love and to be in a hurry. It's impossible to love without patience. You can't show love without gentleness and self-control. These things simply work together. And the fruit of the Spirit, though, this is what flows out of the life of every believer. See, this isn't reserved for just certain Christians. This is for all of us this morning. You know, I think sometimes we see this and we think, man, I'm just not a patient person. But I believe, and I hope that you believe, that God can grow patience in you, right? But here's the deal, the fruit of the Spirit, it's not a personality trait. It's not even your Enneagram number. I'm a 2, by the way. The fruit of the Spirit is us growing into spiritual maturity. Now, as we approach this text, there's another challenge that comes. I think it's easy for us to say, okay, then I need to love more. I need to have more joy. I need to have more patience. I need to do more. But I think one of the most important ideas we have to keep in mind, and we're going to learn about today as we read Galatians 5, it's actually found a little bit more clearly in John 15. So that's where we'll be heading for the remainder. But what's going to happen in that, I'll give you a brief overview. Jesus is going to give us the posture behind the fruit. Because what he's going to tell us, in short, is it's not about doing, it's about being. It's not about doing, it's about being. And I'm going to say that over and over today. So let's flip on over to John 15. We'll be in verse 1. And as you flip there, it's kind of funny that I'm the one who gets to share about fruit today, because I didn't really grow up in a fruit or a vegetable family, for that matter. I still don't eat very many fruits or vegetables. I try to get my kids to, but I don't eat them myself. But I didn't really know a whole lot about fruit coming into this. But I've been doing way too much research on fruit, and I've learned so much. But anyways, I remember there was this moment early in our marriage where I was going to the store, and I texted Erin. I said, hey, I'm at the store. Do you need me to grab anything? And she said, yeah, grab 3 avocados. And I was like, all right, I got you. So I go to the store. I'm going down the avocado aisle. I go to get them. Then I get another message. It says, make sure you get good ones. It's like, good ones? What? What in the world? So I'm standing in the middle of Walmart, and I get on my phone. I Google how to tell if avocado is good. And then it gives me all of these tips and tricks. This is before ChatGPT, by the way. And so it gave me all these tips. I tried them. I took it home. And let's just say it didn't pass the avocado test. But I learned something that day. Well, first of all, how many of you guys knew an avocado is a fruit? Anybody? You're smarter than me. Congratulations. The second thing I learned was this, is there is such a thing as good fruit and bad fruit. And this is going to be made clear through John 15. So let's go ahead and read that together. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide, he is thrown away like a branch and it withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So there's a word that appears in this text 10 times. In verses 1 through 16, that word is abide, or remain in, or to dwell with. And you see, God's been kind of teaching me this lesson since 2020, because one thing that COVID did for me was to show me that I am really good at doing, but abiding, not so much. And I certainly have not mastered the art of abiding yet. But I hope that as we approach this passage together today, we can look like, what does it look like to abide in Christ and the good fruit that will come from it? So as we look at this passage, there's 3 things I want us to take away about good fruit. 3 things. The first is this, if you're taking notes, that good fruit grows deep roots. That good fruit grows deep roots. What's the root? What's the foundation? Here is where the Sunday school answer is right. Jesus. Jesus is the root. Jesus is the foundation. When we know who God is, we know what he's done for us, and who we are as a result of that, then we are starting to abide. Check out Colossians 2, the way it says it. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him, and then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. See, I think when we realize this, there's this transformational moment that happens in the life of the believer, because we're no longer working for acceptance and for approval, but we are working from acceptance. And that's completely different. And when this happened in my life, it literally changed everything for me. that there was so much freedom in that season. So many tattoos were gotten in that season. But I experienced so much freedom in Christ, because I think what happens is this, that it's easy to look on the outward appearance for growth. How much are we doing? How busy we are for God. But real fruit, the kind that lasts, it's not about your activity, it's about your depth. Think about this, the tree, the most hidden valuable part of the tree is the root. It's hidden, it's underground, right? On the outside, this tree can still look healthy. It can still look good. But if its roots are shallow, then what happens is one strong storm comes in and the whole thing topples over. But if the roots are down into the deep soil of the earth, then when things happen, the tree stands. You see, that's how it is with us spiritually. You see, when our roots are deep, when we don't wither, when life is hard, when disappointments come, when plans fall apart, when temptation comes, we don't rely on our emotions or our circumstances because we are grounded. And here's the thing about roots. Roots often grow in the dark. Roots often grow in those quiet and hidden places of our life. It's not flashy. It's not Instagram worthy, but the real work happens when no one is watching. It's whenever we choose obedience in the small things. It's when we choose to be patient through the trial. It's when we worship God, not just on the mountaintop, but in the valley. So maybe you're here and you feel unseen. Maybe growth isn't visible for you. Don't be discouraged. This season you are in right now, God might be growing you the most and you just can't see it yet. Because I believe what is happening, he's growing roots into you, which is preparing you to stand strong and bear fruit that lasts. The vine connects to the root. The root connects to the branches. The branches to the vine. And out of that flows life. So when we know who he is, and we know who we are, we can start to abide in him. Not by doing, but by being. Second thing is this, good fruit knows where it needs to grow. Good fruit knows where it needs to grow. In this passage, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father, he is the vine dresser, or he is the gardener. Now, what does the gardener do? The gardener prunes. Who does he prune? Those who are fruitful. Why does he prune them? He prunes them because he knows that in order for growth to take place, some things are gonna have to be cut back. And God is the good gardener in our lives. He sees and knows exactly the areas where we need to grow. And so what he does, he begins to cut back a little bit. You see, a gardener back in those days, there's a lot of reasons why they might prune something. You see, maybe the branches are too clustered together. Maybe there's some dead areas that are affecting the whole tree. So what he does, he trims, he removes, and he prunes. Check this out in Hebrews 12. It says, they, earthly fathers, disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained in it. Here's the thing, pruning can hurt. Pruning can hurt, especially when we're holding on to our plans and dreams and comforts. Sometimes pruning is just letting go of distractions or maybe letting go of a relationship that is not allowing you to bear good fruit. Sometimes it looks like painful surrender of our plans and our dreams and the things that we once thought mattered the most in this life. But God, as the good gardener, he sees what we can't see. He knows what we can't know. And he knows that if we don't allow him to do a pruning work in our life, that we can't grow. Now think about this though. Think that pruning isn't punishment. Pruning is preparation. Think about this. Maybe it's not God being cruel. Maybe it's just God being intentional. He wants so much more for your life, not just activity, but abundance. Not just your effort, but effectiveness. And he knows these areas where you need to grow the most. And here's the hard thing about pruning, though. A lot of times it doesn't even really feel spiritual. It feels like life is really hard. It feels like things are being taken away, like doors are closing. But what if instead of fighting against those things, what if we started to lean in? What if we started to say, God, what are you trying to grow in me in this season? God, what are you trying to teach me? Because I believe in these moments when we trust and abide in him. These are the moments that our heart is good soil for love and peace and patience to grow. So we have to go from this hands closed position to open our hands and say, God, it was never mine to begin with. It was yours. What do you want to do with it? But this is where humility kicks in. And this is where we have to pray like David did in the Psalms. In Psalms 139, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in your way everlasting. And this is a dangerous prayer because God will answer it. But I believe that if we're serious, what he does in this moment, he reveals what that thing is, but he walks with us, that he reshapes us and that he deepens us and matures us. I want to encourage you this morning, maybe the area where you feel the weakest or most insecure in, maybe that's where God wants to grow something new in you. Maybe you think, I'm just not a patient person. I'm not very good at forgiving people. Here's the thing, the Spirit doesn't ask you to do this in your own effort. He simply says, stay connected to abide. Trust that he knows the best places for fruit to grow in your life. But here's the key, you can't know what needs to grow unless you are abiding in him. You've got to rest in his truth and rest in his promise. Man, a couple months ago, Aaron and I went through a really hard season. I was kind of under this constant state of panic and anxiety, and it was never ending, it felt. And then in the middle of all that, we experienced loss and we experienced grief and heartache. But I can tell you, and I can speak on her behalf, that the Lord was so present in those moments that we began together to ask him, God, what are you teaching us? God, what are you growing in us? And he was so close, and it was still really hard, but he was close. And maybe for you this morning, it's not anxiety, it's not grief, but you've experienced a version of loss, because we all have. Maybe this isn't God just taking things from you, but what if he's cutting some things down to clear space in your life? You see, sometimes God has to cut away good things in order for great things to grow. Let him prune. Let him lead, and trust that good fruit grows where the gardener knows it needs to. Last thing here, good fruit grows better in groups. Good fruit grows better in groups. Now, this isn't a plug for small groups, but if it were, I'd say you can find me and Blair in the lobby after service. We'd love to sign you up and get you connected to a group. But seriously, fruit does grow better in groups. I Googled it just to make sure this was accurate before I told you about it. But from the very beginning, God never intended for us to grow alone. In fact, the first thing that God said wasn't good is for man to be alone, right? This isn't just a marriage verse. This isn't just for wedding vows. It's about community. It's about connection, about living together. Check this out in Hebrews 10. It says, let us consider how to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. See, that's not just a suggestion. It's a picture of how spiritual fruit grows. Love, patience, kindness, self-control, these things, they don't develop very good in isolation. They grow around people, especially people who are on the same path that we are. But here's the truth, that community stretches us. It exposes our blind spot. It brings accountability. It can sometimes be messy because people are imperfect. But I think where real fruit grows, it's in these real life moments and the tension of grace and forgiveness and encouragement and correction. And I think whenever we're in that type of community is where we begin to grow the most. I think one of the most powerful things you can do is grab 2 to 3 trusted, godly friends who know every single thing about your life. Not just your highlight reel, not just your accomplishments, but they know your struggles, they know your habits, they know your wounds. They're the type of people who come alongside you and say, hey, I'm not gonna let you fall alone. Or they're the type of people who say, man, I see this in you, let's grow that a little bit. You know, and I've got guys in my life, fortunately, who are those for me. And I know right now they would call me on my blind spot when I need it. But also, they are the guys, whenever life gets hard, whenever you get the hardest news you'll ever get, they're the ones who get that call. So if you're trying to grow this morning, but you feel stuck, maybe the answer isn't just to try harder, to do more. Maybe the answer is stop trying to do it alone, because good fruit grows better in groups. And God designed you to flourish in connection with him and with his people. But we do know this, we have a real enemy who his desire is to seek, kill, and destroy. And he would love nothing more than to whisper, hey, if you told him that, there's no way they would accept you. But let me tell you that that is a lie from the pit of hell, because we are all going through something. We've all been through something. And we need people on our life when life gets really hard or just when we make really dumb decisions. We need people to hold us up. So good fruit grows deep roots. Good fruit knows where it needs to grow, and good fruit grows better in groups. In order to bring this kind of full circle, why are we talking about this? Andy told us last week who the Holy Spirit is. We're learning this week the Holy Spirit leads us. But why bearing fruit? Because Jesus says this in verse 8, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So when we bear fruit, we're proving to be his disciples. I found this definition from a pastor about a disciple. It says this, a disciple is not someone who simply produces fruit. A disciple is someone who abides in Jesus and fruit is produced. We have to have the abiding piece right. We've got to get this part right, because if not, we're just doing really good acts of service and it becomes a meaningless task. So we must abide. So how do we do this? I'm gonna get really practical here for a couple minutes. I know most of the message has been practical, but I've got two things for us. The first is this, we need to focus on the right thing. Focus on the right thing. That verse we read earlier in Galatians says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And I think what happens a lot of times, we ask ourselves this question, or maybe it's just me, but if I still sin, how do I know that I'm still walking in the Spirit? First off, what I tell myself and what I would tell you, do everything in your power not to sin. Because in 1 John 1:2, it says this, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. So this means that if you need to delete the app, you need to delete it. If you need to leave the room when gossip starts, then you need to leave the room. If you need to avoid going to a certain place, you avoid that certain place. See, but I think what happens is a lot of us get this wrong. This is something that I had wrong for a really long time in my life. We have to look at the order. It's not stop sinning and then you will walk by the Spirit. The order is walk by the Spirit, and then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Not escape the lust of the flesh, and then you'll be filled with the Spirit. I think that's how many of us see it. If I avoid these certain things, if I don't do this sin, then I will be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, no, walking by the Spirit comes first. Why? Because he knows that there is never a moment in our own power where we can say no to the lust of the flesh. And then we fall into this trap where we somehow think that sinning or not sinning is dependent upon our ability and our willpower. And so what happens? We fall into shame. But Jesus comes so that he can break the cycle of shame. Because in Romans 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The second thing we need to do is this. We need to take a step with the Holy Spirit. We need to take a step with the Holy Spirit. A little bit later in Galatians 5, it says that if we live by the Spirit, then we're also to stay in step with the Spirit. So what is that step for you today? What are the areas of fruit that you look at and you see that you are lacking? What are some of the places where you feel like God wants to grow something in you? In these moments, I just want us to ask the Spirit to guide us, to change us, to empower us in to these areas. Maybe it's patience. Maybe it's joy. Maybe it's self-control. Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's just love altogether. But in John, he tells us that whatever we ask in his name, he will give. And so I believe if we ask for those things, that God will give us those things. And as we conclude today, I want to encourage you with this. We serve a God who is patient with us. He's patient with us in our failures. He's patient with us in our growth. That spiritual maturity does not happen overnight. Just like good fruit, it's gonna take some time to grow. And while the process might not always look the way we planned, we have to trust that he will lead us and he will guide us. I believe that God has so much in store for your life, so much more than you could ask, think, or imagine. If you follow him, I believe that you will find more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more gentleness, and more self-control. So we just got to ask his Spirit to lead us. Walk daily with him and stay connected. Let his Spirit lead you. God has so much in store for your life. God wants so much more for your life. I think the question we have to start to ask ourselves is do we want the same thing? Let's go ahead and pray. God, we come before you. God, we've read your word. We've seen all that you've said. Thank you that you told your disciples it was better for you to leave so that you could give us a comforter, and you give us the Spirit. And his job is to lead and guide and comfort and direct. And God, I pray right now for the person in the room that feels like they're too far gone. They feel like they've done too much. God, I pray that the first thing for them is that they would receive your Spirit by salvation. God, that they would come to know you this morning. And then God, for those of us who followed you for a while and we feel stagnant or stuck, and we think it somehow it's based on our own efforts, remind us of the cross. Remind us of the payment that you took on so that we don't have to bear it any longer. Remind us of Romans 8. Remind us that we are no longer guilty. There is no condemnation. And God, I pray that as we leave here today, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, that you would change us, that you would empower us. May we leave here today different than when we walked in. God, we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that concludes our service for today. You guys can go ahead and make your way out. Have a great Sunday. If you haven't signed up for Big Kick, make sure to get your kids signed up. It's going to be an awesome week.